Okay, today's daf is daf mem beis. Today's learning is sponsored by the Felder family in honor of parents, children, and grandchildren. So last line of mem af mem beis, the Gemara quotes from Rabbi Yossi Omer Yamtuf. So he was talking about if a person accidentally had taken the lulav on Yamtuf Rishon Shechalios B'Shabbos, and he can't carry outside because there's no Erev, so then even though it normally would be a Chiv Chattas for Hotzah, since he was tarred b'mitzvah, he's potter. That was the din of Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara now says, Amar Abai, Abai says, going on to daf mem beis now, Amar Abai, lo shanu ela shlo yotza bo. It's only true if he wasn't yotze the mitzvah yet. Aval yotza bo chai. But if he already was yotze the mitzvah, and then afterwards he wants to take it out a second time, he walks outside, that's not good, because you don't get a second mitzvah. You already did the mitzvah before. Look at Rashi at the top of mem beis here. Lo shanu de potter, ela shlo yotza chovas netila kodem shotiu. The hash the tar b'mitzvah, the tar b'dar mitzvah, because now he's performing for the very first time, and he's tar b'mitzvah, there he's potter. But yatzah b'kodem shoots you. If he was ready yotzah mitzvah earlier in the day in his own house, sulo tar b'dar mitzvah, that's not called being mistaken in dar mitzvah, because he already was yotzah the mitzvah, and then he'd actually be chai b'chata. So Gemara says, wait a second here. So let's say he wasn't yotzah the mitzvah yet. Now's the first time he's yotzah the mitzvah. Asks the Gemara two lines down, ha midag behe nafik behe. The moment he picks it up in his house, the mitzvah is done. We already saw before that lifting the dalaminim is the mitzvah. So he picks the mitzvah, he's yotze, now he walks outside, the mitzvah is already over. So what does that mean? How do you ever have a heichatimsi where he wasn't yotze the mitzvah yet and he walks outside? So Gemara says, gives a few answers. The Gemara answers, Amar Baye, kishehafchu, when he turns it upside down, so he's holding the esrog, for example, upside down, he wasn't yotze the mitzvah, he's walking outside to bring it to shul, since he hasn't yet been yotze mitzvah, he'd be potter because that is considered tarid bedavar mitzvah. Rav Amar, afilu teima shul hafchu, even if he didn't flip it upside down, hacha b'mayaskinon, kigon shiotziu b'kli, he used the kli, he wasn't holding it the regular way, that's not called a lakicha, he was holding it in the, you know, the esok, in a silver box of some sort. Gemara says, that's not going to make a difference, because didn't Rav himself hold? B'ha Rav, hud Amar lakicha, ayde davar achar shma lakicha. You are actually able to hold on. Remember, he had the case of holding on to the sudar, the handkerchief, an extension. You don't have to hold the lulav itself. Even an extension of the lulav is considered lakicha. Gemara says, that's only true hani mile derech kavod. If you're holding the item in a derech kavod, Rashi gives the example, you wrap a sudar around it, but something that's a derech, aval derech bizayon, like Rashi's like a ka'ara, you put into a little bowl or a little plate or something, that's not a derech kavod, lo, that would not work. So lakicha ayde davar acher would only work if it's considered derech kavod. So the two examples the Gemara says, the way a person is not yotze immediately is either he holds it upside down or he holds it in a kli, that's not a derech kavod. Now, you're trying to ask a question, wait a second, there's a third option. What about tzichas kavana? If mitzvah tzichas kavana, if he's mechave not to be yotze the mitzvah, even if he holds it in the regular way, that should also be another avenue. So some Rishonim say we see from here that mitzvos lo tzichas kavana. Even if you had negative kavana, it wouldn't work. But they say for the Rambam it doesn't work because the Rambam actually says the example of the person has kavana not to be yotze, so actually he would be potter in that case. So even though the Gemara here assumes that mitzvos eino tzichas kavana. Since Rambam paskins mitzvos tzichas kavana, if one had a mind not to be yotze the mitzvah and then walked outside, that would be a third instance whereby he'd be potter on Shabbos. The Gemara now says, "Amar Rav Huna, am Omer, Omer Hayar Rabbi Yossi, olas haof shenimtzas bein agafayim." So let's say he found an olas haof. An olas haof is not eaten. An ola gets a kula kol, gets completely burnt out in the mizbech. And he finds an olas haof, a kohen finds it, this carbon amongst other animals somehow, and he confuses it with kasavar chatas haof. He throws a chatas haof, which gets eaten. So achl, he ate it. He was getting together all those carbonos and ate the olas haof, thinking it was a chatas haof. He's potter. What's the din? What's the chiddush here? So my kamash malam, the ta'a b'davar mitzvah, potter. Because the halacha is you're supposed to eat a chatas haof, you're not allowed to eat an olas haof. If one eats an olas haof, you're chayef. But he thought it was a chatas haof. So since he was tarid b'davar mitzvah, he's exempt. That's the same exact klal we just learned, just a different application. So Gemara said, "Hainu hach." That's the same case of the lulav walking outside on Shabbos. It's the same case, just different mitzvahs here. So what's the chiddush here? So Gemara says, "Mal the same of what would you have thought? Hasam hu deta b'davar mitzvah pater hainu de avid mitzvah." Maybe the only time we could apply ta b'davar mitzvah pater when you actually perform the mitzvah. I mean, when you took the dalaminim outside, you got the mitzvah of dalaminim. But here, when he ate the olas haof, he gets no mitzvah. You're not supposed to eat an olas haof. He thought it was a chatas haof. It was a wrong bird, wrong carbon, but he didn't get a mitzvah because it was an olas off the whole time. Aval hacha dita b'davar mitzvah v'lo avid mitzvah. He didn't get the mitzvah. He doesn't get a check mark. Aim alone. Maybe this case you would not apply ta b'davar mitzvah pater. Maybe should be chayv kamash malan. Even if he wasn't a mekayim mitzvah, you still could apply the din of ta b'davar mitzvah is pater. So now the Gemara says, okay. So now we have this klal ta b'davar mitzvah is pater. So what about the following brisa? Mishnah, the Gemara says. Meisivei Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi himself says, Omer ha-shochet es ha-tamid shein mevukar kilchaso b'shabes chayv chatas v'tzarech tamid acher. So there's a din, if you remember from the Gemara's and Pesachim, that you have to have a carbon tamid, must be mevukar, 4 days before you bring a carbon tamid, must be inspected for various mumim. It's based on the pasuk by the Karim Pesach. The Karim Pesach was taken on the 10th of Nisan. It was 4 days until Yudal Nisan, until it's Shechted. So there are 4 days that are there. So just like we have, it says, I think, Moado by the Karim Pesach, this is Moado by the Karim Tamid, you have to have it Mevukar. It must be inspected for 4 days. The truth is, we're saying Slichos, what, next Motzei Shabbos? So the Slichos has to be at least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. Depending, we always start Motzei Shabbos. But let's say, this year, Rosh Hashanah, a Tuesday night? So it's only going to have Sunday and Monday, and a Tuesday, only 3 days. That's not good enough. So we have to move it the week beforehand to have 10 days of slichos or so, because you always have to have at least 4 days of slichos. Why? Because this din of mevukar, that there's an inyan of us inspecting ourselves as a carbon. It's learned out from this actual halacha. Either way, so what happens if you shechted a carbon tamid that was not mevukar, that wasn't inspected? You shechted it on Shabbos. The kohen shechted it on Shabbos. So Gemara says, he's chai v'chatas, he's chai violated shechita. It's a melacha on Shabbos, and he needs to bring another tamid acher. So why? Don't we say ta b'davar mitzvah pata? He was involved in a mitzvah. So why is this the case? So the Gemara answers, this particular instance is an exception. So amar le bar minei, except for this case, tehahi, this case of the karban tamid, deha itmar Allah, it was said on this case, amar Rav Shmuel bar Chatoi, amar Rav Hamnuna Saba, amar Rav Yitzhak bar Ashan, amar Rav Huna, a lot of people's names, amar Rav, Kigon sheviu melishcha she'ena mevukarm. He was involved. He went to one of the chambers that did not have the sheep that were inspected. What does that mean? If you look at Rashi, the wide lines, the widest lines in Rashi, the first wide line, Rashi says, melishcha she'ena mevukarm. He went to the wrong chamber, the wrong lishcha. So that's not called involved in a mitzvah. Shebitloim shebelishcha zu, the sheep in this particular room, Eino tarid, sheino omdim lahakrava, dios charad alem masa yikivu. They went to the wrong chamber. If you're tav b'davar mitzvah, so by the case of the chatas of and the olas of, it was apparently, I don't know exactly the case here, but a room or a pile of dead birds, dead karbanos. And in that pile, there were some chatas ofs and olas ofs, so he made a mistake, but he was involved in the b'davar mitzvah. Here, he went to the wrong chamber, completely wrong chamber. He shouldn't have been osik in that one. That's not called ta b'davar mitzvah. The chefs of the mitzvah must be present. So by the dal minim, the chefs of the mitzvah is there. By the olas of, the chatas of was there. But here, the animals, the tlam that mevukarm, were not here, were not in the same chamber, not the same room, and therefore, in this case, he would actually be chai. Okay, Gemara.
The basis of ta b'davar mitzvah is it like you're so tired that you're an ones?
Yeah, that's what I think Rashi said. Rashi didn't quite say onus, but he said since he's osik in a mitzvah, we don't hold him responsible. He's not called negligent. He's so excited to do the mitzvah, a person sometimes can make a careless mistake, and it's a serious mistake. But that's how Rashi didn't use the word onus, but he used the words, well, how was this? The back of Amun Beis, he says, Sheyatar b'mitzvah u'michashev v'osik u'mimahir laso. So he did it very quickly, and he forgot there was Shabbos, so that's a cloud that somehow it's not negligent. It's the excitement. It wasn't because he was involved in a wrongdoing. He was involved in a right. His proper thoughts were in the right place. It was just he got too excited. So maybe it's some type of onus, perhaps. So now the Numisha tells us as follows. Mikabelas isha miyad bina umiyad baila umachsiras lamayim b'shabbos. So after you take the dal minim, you pass it around that he shakes it and she shakes it and so on. So then you give it to the, put it back in the water on Shabbos. Now this is interesting. So it becomes a big halacha that you're allowed to put a plant in water on Shabbos. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi here says, Rashi's gears is important here. It says, Mekabelas isha miyad bina ubaila, es lulavayim. You return the lula back. V'lo amrinan kimital tala midei dilachazi. We don't say it's a muksa, because even though only the men are chayim midiraisa and women are pater, in the end of the day, for them it's still considered a kli, and it's not called muksa for them. Umachzirin lemaim shel yochmush, it shouldn't dry out. We could return it back to the water. And B'Shabbos, as I said, we'll finish the Mishnah, I'm sorry. Let's finish the Mishnah now. So Rashi says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'Shabbos machzirin. On Shabbos, you could return it back to the water. B'Yom Tov mosifin. Yom Tov, you can't replace water, but you could add water to which you put the lulav back in. Uvemoed, chal moed, machlifin. You could even switch the water, replace the water. If a katan shall yudei l'naneach, chayv l'bululav. And a child who knows how to shake the lulav, there's an obligation of the father to buy a lulav so he could fulfill the mitzvah. So go back in Rashi. Rashi says, b'Shabbos machzirin. You go return it back to that same water. You can't add water. Certainly one cannot replace the water on Shabbos. It's considered fixing the item. It's not called growing, because the plants are not going to grow. If it's detached from the ground, and you put it into water, it's not going to grow. It just maintains it from losing its moisture, but you can't replace it on Shabbos, because that's called some type of tikkun mana. That's the mission. So they say here, based on this, is a Ramah that writes that a person is allowed to return a plant to water on Shabbos unless it has flowers. Because flowers actually, if it hasn't fully bloomed, it will actually grow more. Not grow, but it will actually come out more. It's apparently, Sheldon doesn't think so, but it might blossom more if it goes back into water. You can't do that on Shabbos, says the Ramah, but plants can be returned back to the water. So others say, what do you mean? You should be able to even put plants in water directly, even for the very first time, not only to return it, but to return it the first time. The Mishnah says here only machzirin's allowed. So they say Rashi in the Gemara doesn't really mean machzirin. That was just a normal case. But let's say for the very first time you have a plant that's detached from the ground. Some poskim say you can actually put it directly in water for the very first time, as long as that there are no flowers. We assume that you should not put it back in water. Only machzirin to mayim is allowed, but not for the first time to put plants in water on Shabbos. Okay. Either way, the Gemara now says, "Vayter pshita mahu the same." I, of course, know the lulav is not muksa on yantif. It's certainly fine. What's the chiddush here? So the Gemara says, "The whole of isha la bas chiyuvahi emalos sekabel." Since women are not chayav the mitzvah, maybe it's not called a kli for her. Kamash malan, it's considered a kli. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Kamash malan the kevan the royal natilas anashim." Taurus klia lava umuter betilta lakol. Since for men the lulav is considered kli on yantif and they could shake it, so too for women as well it's considered a kli. Now they talk about, I don't want to get involved in the mitzvah asei she'asman grama, but for them, even for women, they're allowed to do the mitzvah asei she'asman grama. It should be a kli even for them, not because it's for the men, but for themselves. It also should be considered a mitzvah. So some prove from this Gemara that women actually are not allowed to. They could shake the lulav if they want, but there's a discussion whether they could say a bracha on a mitzvah asei she'asman grama. So Sfardim say women cannot say bracha on a mitzvah asei she'asman grama, and Ashkenazim say that we can. So some say from this Gemara indicates that they should not say bracha because it's not really a mitzvah for them. Because from the fact that Rashi says it's only a kli because for men it's a kli, not for them, sounds like for them it's not a kli, it's not really a mitzvah, and they shouldn't be saying a bracha on a mitzvah asei she'asman grama. So now the Gemara says further, katan hayodei l'naneah. The child knows how to shake a lulav, there's a mitzvah to buy him a lulav. The interesting question I saw Rav Zilberstein raised to his father-in-law, to Rav Yashiv. He said, what would happen if you only have one lulav, and your neighbor, who's an adult, doesn't have a lulav? Is it better to give it to your own child, or is it better to give it to your neighbor? Now, my child's only chayiv on a derabanan level, but my neighbor's chayiv on a deraisa level. So who should I give this dal minim to? To my father, my neighbor, the deraisa, my child, the derabanan. And he answered that one should give it to the child, your own child, even though that chiyuv is only a derabanan chiyuv, and my neighbor's a deraisa chiyuv. But since my obligation is to my child, my obligation is not to my neighbor. Now, there is an arvus, for sure, but the first obligation is for himself to take care of himself. My obligation is not to take care of people around me. My first obligation is for myself and my family, my children. Once I've taken care of those obligations, then I could go on to expand to other people's obligations as well. And he paskin better to get one for the child than to the neighbor. So now the Gemara quotes a brisa taner banim. We're going to see a whole slew of chiyuv of chinuch on the child. So a katan hayodei linaneya chayv lulav. The person's a child that knows how to shake properly, which is not doesn't require much. He knows just following the rules of the directions. So then you have to buy him a lulav. Just to reiterate, I've said this in the past. When you buy for your child, it has to be a kosher lulav, a kosher esog. Don't get tricked into buying a chenech set that isn't kosher. It has to be kosher. Otherwise, you have not fulfilled your mitzvah, nor has he. And it'll be a bracha levat tal if he says a bracha. If he knows how to shake the lulav, you must buy him a lulav. If he knows how to wear tzitzis, to wrap himself with tzitzis, you need to buy him tzitzis. Lishmar tefillin, which is a much older age, aviv lokeach lo tefillin. If he knows how to protect the tefillin properly, knows how to be shomer his guf, his body, so then he could buy it. The practice is for many is to 30 days beforehand. Some say even 3 months beforehand. Some say not even a day beforehand. But either way, whatever that shear is, it has to be a much older age of protecting the tefillin. You have to make sure it's for his size, though, for his height. So then the Gemara says, when it comes to Yodei L'dabi, he knows how to speak, Aviv Lom Do Torah, the father should teach him how to learn, the Kriyashma to say Shema. So Torah, he wasn't meant to teach him Torah. So Amar Hamnuna, Torah Tziva Lana Moshe, Marasha Kiyaz Yaakov, teach him that pasuk. He should be able to say that pasuk. That should be the first pasuk he learns. Kriyashma Mahi, how much Shema should he, kid starts to speak, what should you teach him? The whole three parshios? But I said, no, pasuk Rishon, a little slowly but slowly, teach him pasuk Rishon, teach him Torah Tziva Lana, slowly he builds up. Hayodei Lishmar Gufo, a person knows how to, a child knows how to protect his body from tuma. So the din is Ochlin al Gufo Taros. You're able to give him Taros to eat. Now, there's a difference between protecting his body versus protecting his hands. Hands move all the time. So the Yadaim Askaniosim. So there's a level of, although he can protect his body from coming into contact with tuma, he may not necessarily be able to protect his hands from coming into contact with tuma. So that's the next level. If he's able to lishmor as a yodav to watch over his hands from touching that which he shouldn't be touching, then even ochlan al yodav taros, if he's certain things he touched, we could trust him as well to consider that still tahor. If he's yodei lishael, if he knows how to respond to questions, he knows how to answer a question, yes, no, I'm tamei, not tamei, I'm not sure. If he could give all those three answers, so somehow you've tested his knowledge and ability to be trusted, so then the din would be, if he says the din of Birshus HaYachid, if he says there's a tumah, you ask him, did you touch the tumah when you're in Birshus HaYachid? And he says, I don't know, I'm not sure. We trust him, and we say, Sveiko tamei, there's a klal in general, comes to tumah v'tara. We learn this from the din of Sota, that if there's a Safek Tumah in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, we assume Tameh. If there's a Safek Tumah in Rosh Hashanah Rabin, we assume Tahor. We learn that from Sota. It says Sota, Nitma a few times. We learn Gzeir Shavah from Sota to Tumah. So just by a Sota, if a woman's in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, which means she and a man, that man, that we assume they're Tameh, they're Aser. If she was in with two men, meaning a total of three people, that's called Rosh Hashanah Rabin, Legabe Sota, and she would be mutter still to her husband. So that's the model used for Rosh Hashanah Rabin for Tameh as well. We don't use the model of 600,000 men by Shabbos, that's a different din. We do three versus two. That's the Rosh Hashanah Yachid versus Rosh Hashanah Rabin. So the Safek of Tumah takes place in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, which is two or one people, one person, that would be Tameh. If it's three or more, that's Rosh Hashanah Rabin, the din would be Safek, Tumah would be Tahor. So if he knows how to answer questions properly, and he says, I don't know, I'm not sure, I don't know what happened in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it's a case of Safek, we assume Tameh in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and if the Safek took place in Rosh Hashanah Rabin, we assume Sveiko Tahor. Now, Yodei Lifros Kappa, if he knows how to spread his hands properly, he's a Kohen. Chok and Lo Chuma, Bebeis HaGronos, we're able to then serve him Chuma as a full, responsible Kohen. In the base Granos, when you give out the Chuma to the Kohen, you could give him Chuma and know he'll keep it and preserve it properly. Going on to now, Amr Beis, Mem Beis here at top. Hayodei Lishchot, Ochen Mishchitaso, if he knows how to, he has the proper strength. He could keep his hand straight while he does a shchita. Rashi says, La'amin yadav l'shchita, la'amin l'shchita of uman, a trade. He's a professional. He has a good, swift slice of the neck of the animal. We could trust his shchita, even though he does not know the halachas. That's a much higher level to know the halachas. So he could be strong, but not wise yet. So Amar Rav Huna, with one caveat, v'hu shegadol omen agavav, as long as a older person, a bar mitzvah boy, or someone who knows halachas, is watching over to make sure he did not make a psul. And yachal lecha kazayas, if he's able to eat a kazayas of dagan, of grains, machikin mitzoaso, we have to separate from his tzoa, that the din of Gemara and Brachos tells us that if a child begins to eat grains, his tzoa now has a din of tzoa, and you can't daven in the presence, as opposed to a newborn who is only nursing, that tzoa does not have a din of harchaka. Umeimei raglav as well. Arba amos, you must separate from the tzoa and the meiraglav dal amos. And Amar Rav Chisda, v'hu sheyachol lo'ochlo b'chdeach yispras. It's only true if he's able to eat that kazayis of dagon with the shear of k'deach yispras, which is somewhere between 2 and 9 minutes. As opposed to a gadol, as we see now, Amar Rav Chia b'reidu Rav Yaba, u'begadol, av api she'enu yachol lechol b'chdeach yispras. Now a gadol, however, if he reached whatever age, the age of 13, even let's say he's really old and he can't eat much food anymore, his tzoa is always a problem once he reaches a certain age of a gadol. But a katan, only if he's able to eat a kazayis of dagon, b'chdeach yispras. How do we know this? By a gadol, even if he can't eat b'chdeach yispras, his tzoa is still considered tzoa. The Chassid says in the pasuk, Gemara quotes an interesting pasuk in Koheles. Says Yosef das, Yosef machov. The greater das, greater wisdom one has, the greater pain, the greater sickness or whatever waste one has. So yachol lechol kazayis tzli. If he's able to eat a kazayis of roasted meat, so then you could be shochet olav es haPesach. He could be included in the minion of the guest list of the carbon pasach shenemar. It says in the pasuk ish. If he's able to be to eat a kazayas, he's part of the guest list. Yehuda Omer, ad sheyochel yachal levar achila. So long as he's able to choose properly a food, what's considered good food, what's not considered good food. How do you test him out? So keitzad, nosin lo tzur v'zorko, egos v'nutl. If you give him a rock, he says, this is a waste, he threw the rock out. But if you give him a nut, he says, oh, this is good, he keeps it. He knows what's good, he knows what's bad. That's the shear he needs to have to be part of the carbon pasach list. Hajrlach lulav hagazel. So that's the whole long list of various dinim of mitzvahs when you have to when this chinuch. Now these are just examples, a lot of examples, but this is true of every single mitzvah. He has to be age appropriate for that particular mitzvah. Let's begin now the next parak. We'll just read the mishnah and we'll stop because the next gemara goes deep into the next daf. So we'll stop after this mishnah. So the mishnah says lulav varava shisha vishiva. So lulav could be and arava could either be 6 days or 7 days. Depending when Shabbos falls out. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says here, Lulav v'arava, Shein b'mikdash, Kol Shiva, in the Mikdash, these were all, these are really, the din was all 7 days. Lulav l'natila, you take the lulav to pick it up. And the arava, we'll see, l'hakev mizbech, we'll see that and a few days from now, they'd go around the mizbech every single day, like we do Hoshanas, they would do with an arava, and they go around every single day of the mizbech. There's a special din in the base of Mikdash, we saw this referred to before, to halacha Moshe Sinai, according to most. So the Gemara says, Rashi says, Shisha v'shiva. It could either be 6 days of the week or 7 days. How? Pamim shadochen Shabbos v'hein kol shiva. Sometimes the mitzvah of lulav or the mitzvah of rava will push off Shabbos and you do it even on Shabbos, so it would be 7 days of Sukkot. Upamim she'ein dochen. Sometimes that the Shabbos is not the doche and you can't perform the mitzvah when Shabbos happens and you have to only 6 days. And the Gemara is going to explain when this is. So I'll just tell you the answer. That the lulav, if Yom Tov Rishon falls out on Shabbos, you would perform the mitzvah on Shabbos, then you'd have 7 days straight. But if Shabbos fell out on any other day of Sukkot, whether it's a second, third, or fourth day, or so on, you would not be docha Shabbos. That would be an instance where you only have 6 days of lulav. Now, a rava is the opposite. A rava, if the seventh day of Sukkot, which is Hoshana Rabbah, if that falls out on Shabbos, then you would take the rava even on Shabbos. But if it would fall out any other day of the week, you would not take the rava on Shabbos, in which case you don't have 6 days for a Rava that particular year. So then the Mishnah says, Ha-Halel Vasimcha Shmona. Saying Halel, we say all 8 days. We say a complete Halel, Halel Shalem, all 8 days of Sukkot, regardless of Shabbos. And the Simcha as well, which we'll see is, Rashi says, Lechel Basa Shlomim, to eat the carbon Shlomim, that takes place all 8 days of Sukkot as well, regardless of Shabbos. Next Mishnah. Sukkah, v'nisach ha-mayim shiva. Sukkah, we sit only 7 days in Eretz Yisrael, that is. 7 days. The 8th day, Shemir HaTeres, we do not sit in the Sukkah as we know. And nisach ha-mayim, which is also a special din, to Lach HaMosh Mishinai, the Gemara is in the beginning of Maseches Tainis, that Beis and Daf Gimel bring the source of nisach ha-mayim, this machlok is either because we look at the Psukim in Parshas Pinchas, it says like v'nisachah, it says an extra mem, an extra yud, an extra mem, and all those psukim and pinchas, repeating what you bring on the day one and day two and day three of Sukkot, there are a few extra letters. Those extra letters come out to spell mem, yud mem, which is mime, which is a remes to nisach ha-mayim. And others say it's simply a halach moshe Sinai. You pour water, well, the way it worked, we'll get into greater detail, I don't want to explain now, but they pour water to accompany the carbon talmud every single day. So that nisach ha-mayim, says the Gemara, would take place. Nisach would be Shiva as well. So Sukkah is 7 days, and Nisach HaMayim is all 7 days as well. It stops by Shemiyat Tzeres. HaChalil, Chamisha, Vishisha. And the Chalil, which is the Simchas Beis Shreva, Rashi explains here, they'd blow these different flutes and other types of instruments. That would be only on 5 days. It would not be Docha Yom Tov. So you wouldn't have day one, and you wouldn't have Shabbos. So that takes out 2 days of the 7 days. That's only 5 days, and we'll see those details as well. And then the Gemara says, oh, so that's the list of different dinim. So now the Gemara is going to explain each one in depth. So first, lulav shiva keitzad, how does lulav work? How do you have 7 days of lulav? Yom tov harishon, shechal yos l'shiyos b'shabbos, like we said, then lulav shiva. That's 7 days, because in that instance, the lulav is docha Shabbos. When first the yom tov Shabbos, it's docha Shabbos. B'shar kol yamim, if Shabbos is any other day of a Sukkot, falls out on Shabbos, then that's shisha. Arava shiva keitzad yom ha-shvi shel arava shechal yos b'shabbos. If the seventh day of Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, falls out on Shabbos, so then you would have a Rava even on Shabbos. Now it would be a Rava Shiva. If Ishar Koyamim, if Shabbos is any other day of Sukkot, then it will only be Shisha. So Mitzvah Lulav Keita B'Shabbos. How exactly does one do the Lulav if it falls out on Shabbos? So Yom Tov Rishon Shechalios B'Shabbos, Molichanes Lulavayim. We saw this already, the previous Mishnah, or two Mishnahs earlier. Everyone would bring the Lulavayim Lahar Bayis. They bring it to Har Bayis somewhere. V'chazanim Mekavim Mehen. And the Chazanim would accept them from them and have some order to it. V'sodin also Agabe Itzva. And kind of place them neatly, nicely, on top of one of the platforms that were on the Har Bayis. But the Kedem Amenichem Eshelhem Belishcha, the elders had special privileges. They were given a special room to put them in. Umalamdino Sam Lomar, they taught everybody there. Komisha Magia Lulava Eliado Harehu Ilab Bimatano. So what would happen is, as opposed to the earlier Mishnah, we said everyone would recognize their Lulav, and this Mishnah tells us they wouldn't necessarily recognize. They said the following: everyone brought their old Dalminim, and they said, whoever gets my Lulav, it's theirs. And everyone makes this tonight. So you get to Har Bayis, you pick up whatever you like. It's yours, even though this was not necessarily the one that you purchased, but this has become yours because everyone made this Tanai, and whoever gets this Dalmin becomes theirs, and then that works out nicely. So it may not be so fair if a guy spent a lot of money, the other guy didn't spend so much money, so I don't know how it worked exactly, but I doubt the prices were different than our days, where there's a big discrepancy of like $30 esrogim versus $120 esrogim. But however they worked out the finances there, they came the next day, they found the Dalmin that they liked, they picked it up, it was theirs. So Lamacha, the next day they'd come, and Mashkimin, they come out early, hopefully. Uban v'chazanim v'zorkin osam l'fnem. The truth is that he said the chazanim wouldn't even let them pick. He just throw the lulavayim at them. He chucked them, and whoever got them, got them. V'hein mechatanin, they'd kind of grab from each other. Umakin each chaver, they'd fight with each other. Uchshiro bezdin shaboli. They said, kind of, they saw this coming to a great danger. People were fighting and beating each other up. Hiskinu, they said, sheikol echad v'echad nota b'vesa. You know what? No more of this trick here. Everyone just stay home. Shake the lulav in the house, and don't come to the base of Megiddo. It's not worth the fighting here. So that we'll stop here. Let's quickly recap what we did today. We started talking about the Gemara, that this din of a tub davar mitzvah was only true if you weren't yet yo to the mitzvah, but if you were already yo to the mitzvah, there's no mitzvah anymore. It's one would be chayiv chatas for bringing this outside. How do you avoid being, behind the mitzvah? The moment you pick it up, it's the mitzvah. We said either you flipped it upside down, or you put it into a kli, derech bizayon, which means you weren't yo to the mitzvah yet, and you walked outside in such a way, so it would be considered tub davar mitzvah. Gemara gave another example of Chatas Of and Olas Of, and the Chiddush is there, even though you didn't fulfill the mitzvah, because you ate the wrong carbon, it's still considered Tabed Davar Mitzvah, and one would be Pater. The one exception the Gemara says is the Tabed Sheinu Mavukar, if one shechted on Shabbos, it's Chai, he's Chai V'Chatas, and it's not Tabed Davar Mitzvah Pater, because he was completely in the wrong room, the wrong Lishka, that's not called Tabed Davar Mitzvah. The Chetzah Shem Mitzvah was not present. We have the case then of the woman and the child passing over the lulav and finally put it back into the water to continue to keep it moist. And then Rabbi Yehuda said, on Shabbos you return it back, on Yom Tov you could add water, and Chol Hamoed you could even replace the water. And then we had the child who's able to be menanea, you should buy him a chinuch set. And we had the whole list of different examples of tzitzis and tefillin and shema and Torah Tzilat Moshe and the taros and tuma and then eating the truma and eating from the shechita, trusting a shechita, and then separating from his tzoh and meraglaim, and then able to eat from the kazayis of the shechita Karban Pesach. That was the end of the parak. Then we had the mishnah of all the examples of lulav and arava are 6 or 7 days, halal and simcha are all 8 days, sukkah and nisach amayim are 7 days, and chalil is 5 and 6 days. And then the mishnah went on to give the example of when lulav is 7 days, and the whole fight in the base of Migdash on Har Bayis. Okay, we'll stop here. Everybody have a wonderful day.